This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Southwest Michigan's second wave is continuing its on-the-ground series, now on Kalamazoo's north side. Coming up, we'll be joined by reporter Teresa Cody O'Neill and business owner Ricky Thrash, profiled in one of her stories. But first, Kathy Albro is the Democratic candidate for Congress in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. It includes Calhoun, Barry, and Ionia counties, and also most of Kent and part of Montcalm County. Republican Justin Amash is running for re-election to the House in the 3rd District. I sat down with Kathy Albro last week at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek.
Why don't you reintroduce yourself to the audience once again and tell us what you would like to do if you were to win a term in the U.S. House?
Well, my name is Kathy Albro, and I live in Middleville, Michigan, and I'm the Democratic candidate for Congress in the 3rd District. Wow. Okay. Well, that's a big question. The list is long. Hopefully, we will have a majority in Congress, so I'm going to speak from that point of view that we are planning for that. I would start with health care reform. I believe that people, every day I hear people tell me stories of, even with Obamacare, there are huge issues of cost and ineffectiveness that we need to deal with right away. And that would really help a lot of people right away if we can make sure it's affordable and effective and then gradually move into a single-payer system.
And you do think a single-payer system is the way to go ultimately?
I do. I've done some study. I've talked to people in Canada that are involved in the medical profession. I feel very confident that we can save maybe 30% of what we're paying now. But I'm always open to learning new things, too. So if someone, other people that are smart, come up with another idea, I'd be very open to hearing about that, too.
What do you think the minimum wage should be in the United States?
I believe the minimum wage should be a livable wage, and that might have to be determined regionally, because here in the 3rd District, about $15 to $16 an hour is a livable wage for a family of three, or a parent and a child at least, to have a two-bedroom minimal basic apartment. So again, I would say that that's a regional, but it should be a federal decision.
What sort of broad policies would you want when it comes to taxation? Can you give me an idea of, do you think we need more tax brackets? Do you think we need to increase, the marginal rates at the top? What are the broad outlines?
Well, first of all, I am a fiscally responsible person. I do believe that we need to have a balanced budget and no deficit, if that's at all possible, because we are paying a lot in interest. But I do believe that we need to reprioritize our budget so that we look at return on investment. We are spending over half of our budget on defense, and is that a smart thing that we should be doing? That's a lot of money. And what is it going for? So we need to look at that more closely and maybe reallocate some of those funds as an investment in our infrastructure, as an investment in our children and their education, investment in our healthcare system, other things that will bring us capital and future investments in our country.
Do you favor a balanced budget amendment to the Constitution?
Not at this point, no. But I think that might be something in the future to think about. As far as taxation goes, you asked that question. I think that there are loopholes that we need to be closing. The last tax bill that was passed last fall does not really address those problems. We could be making more through taxes that way. I also believe that there are many tax fraud cases out there that have not been investigated. What I've heard is that for every dollar spent with the IRS, we reap $200 in return. So that seems like we should be doing more there. I also believe that the people and the companies who are making their wealth from taxpayer assistance, like public schools and roads and all of the infrastructure that taxpayers pay for, police and fire, and I mean, the list could go on, that those people should be paying their fair share, and I really don't think that that's happening right now.
You mentioned defense. Does that also mean that we need to take a look at where United States military personnel are around the world and have a rethink on that?
Yes, I do think the world changes so quickly, and it's definitely changed from the Vietnam era and the Gulf War era and even just the recent wars that we've had. I really believe in diplomacy and working toward peace and for human rights and helping refugees and that type of thing, rather than investing in more proliferation and war.
Education. Mm-hmm. Does the federal government spend enough on education right now?
No.
How much more would you want to spend?
I don't think the federal or the state government, if we're talking about Michigan, spends enough. I don't know enough about the budget right now. You know, in Congress, I would definitely know a lot more than I do right now about what's being spent and how. But I do know that there have been cuts that should not have been made, because we actually do need more investment in early childhood all the way up through post-high school career development so that our students aren't going into huge debt in college. I believe that the Department of Education's responsibility is to hold every state accountable for equity, which means that every child gets what they need to succeed in life as far as their education goes. That's not happening in Michigan. There really are only four states in the country that have policies that relate to equity, and Michigan is not one of those states. So I believe that the federal government should hold states accountable, and then the states, it would be up to each state how they want to fulfill that, but we're not even close to funding school. The research that was done and came out, I think, last January in Michigan, said that we need to fund at least $2,000 per child more in this state to meet minimum standards. And children living in poverty should be an additional 35% beyond that, and special needs even more than that. And we're not doing that.
Your answer, though, does lead to maybe a broader philosophical question, because you will hear people who work in schools say, yeah, we don't get enough money. They'll also say sometimes they feel that they're kind of tied down by mandates. Mm-hmm. What's the right way from a policymaker standpoint to set standards and to try to ensure quality, and at the same time not limit the freedom of people who are on the ground,
right,
to try and make the right decisions and you know, to not squash local control too much, I guess, is what you get
at.
Well,
as a former teacher, I entered a profession and I got a lot of education on how to be an effective teacher. And I think we need to trust our teachers. If they've gone through and they've passed all their classes and they've proven, and I believe there should be a mentorship also for new teachers so that they're not just thrown into the field with no support, that they grow over their first 5 years maybe working with a master teacher. But those teachers should be trusted to know what's right. I mean, they do need direction as far as curriculum and standards go. But I believe in giving the teachers the freedom to work with the interests of their students. Every class is different. Every child is different. Their interests are different. What engages them is different. And teachers need to have that responsibility to be able to match that to their class, to their children.
Immigration. Mm-hmm. What do you think the United States should do in terms of legal immigration? Should we be creating more ways for people to get here legally and to come into the country with documentation and have a pathway to citizenship?
Yes. I think that immigrants, and, you know, we're all immigrants, really, unless you're a Native American, indigenous person. Immigrants are the backbone of the country, and we have to realize that it isn't going to be an all-white or majority-white country for much longer, and I think that's fine. That's great. Immigrants contribute so much to our society, and I also do not like to see families separated, so that at least the nuclear family, whatever we can do to keep them together is important, I believe. We also know that we need immigrants to do our work here, too, because not enough Americans want to do the work. And again, if we can raise the pay, too, that will help the living standards increase the living standards of immigrants. But I do believe that we should settle on our DACA policies and give those people a pathway to citizenship as soon as possible.
Do you support eliminating Immigration and Customs Enforcement, or ICE?
I believe that we need to relook at that. We need a whole new immigration policy in this country, and I hope that we can begin working on that as soon as we're back in Congress in January. That has not been addressed. It should have gone to Congress in 2014, and it was withheld. The vote was withheld, so it didn't have a chance to pass. Since then, things have changed, so we would need to relook at that. But I think as soon as possible, we need to put laws in place so that everybody knows what our laws are, and we're not separating families for refugees or potential refugees coming to our country.
PFOSs have been found at a couple different spots in this congressional district, mm-hmm. Battle Creek, as well as part of Kent County. If you're in Congress, what sort of things would you want the House of Representatives and the Senate to take up to address this at the federal level?
Well, I think the PFAS is horrible, and I think it's part of a larger problem that we have, and that is that the EPA is weakening rather than strengthening. The EPA should be the most basic of regulations or protections in this country. If states want to go above that, that's fine, but we need the federal government to set a high enough standard that we're not putting toxins in our water and our air, because from state to state, we share water, we share air, we share the environment. So it cannot be a state-by-state type of law. It must come from the EPA. And we need to actually be testing more, because there are toxins that are being put in our water and our air. We have no idea what they're doing to us.
Michigan has a couple of ballot issues which will be before voters. Of course, those don't affect federal law, but one of them would legalize marijuana. Mm-hmm. If you were a member of Congress, would you want to see some movement on changing the status of marijuana from a Schedule I drug?
Yes. Yeah. I believe that there's a huge problem with it being a criminal, that people can be thrown in jail for using marijuana. So I actually will be voting yes on Proposal 1, and it took me a while to come to that conclusion. I mean, I was part of the generation that used marijuana in college. I'm not saying I did, but I know all about it. And I was concerned, and I still am, you know, that young people would get involved with using it and smoking it. But what I found out was that there's a black market, and they have easy access, teens do and younger, to marijuana right now. And if it was legalized, we'd at least have some restrictions and it would be more regulated. And so I think that that might be the best way to go, to decriminalize it. And the growers who are growing now and selling black market would go out of business.
As you well know, you are running in a district which is considered pretty safely Republican at the moment.
Well, you might say that. I wouldn't necessarily.
Okay. Well, it has been in past elections.
Right.
So
right.
Make the case why it won't be in 2018.
Well, first of all, the Cook Report says that it's a Republican plus six district. And that was determined after the 2016 election. So a lot has happened in the last 2 years as far as demographics and people's thinking. So I believe that there is a very good chance that Democrats can win in the 3rd District, especially as a woman now. We're seeing more Democratic women winning, higher margins. What I read was that Republican plus 11 is even doable. So I believe that I'm really working hard. I'm getting out and meeting people every day. This is a large district, and I believe that there's a good chance to win.
Kathy Albro, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Gordon.
Kathy Albro is the Democratic candidate in the 3rd Congressional District, which includes Calhoun, Barry, Ionia, most of Kent, and part of Montcalm County.
The conversation with Kathy Albro was recorded last week at Kellogg Community College in Battle Creek.